Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time it is that you're listening to this podcast. Thanks once again for joining in and tuning in to the Penboy Roy Pentertainment Podcast. Once again, I have with me my good buddy Tom Odo of Gold Spot Pens and Ink Journal joining me for another episode. Tom, thanks again for joining me.
Thank you for having me on, Roy. I appreciate you giving me a little spot on this podcast this week.
The spot is always yours. You're one of my good pen buddies, obviously. Obviously, you are more than just honored. You are just beyond any kind of honored. This is a great opportunity for you. I can't think of any greater honor for a friend than to have you on the Pentertainment Podcast.
Yes, and I'll be sending you that check for that beautiful welcoming, and also for the fact that I'll have to pay for my spot on this podcast.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so here's a fun fact. I don't know if anybody knows this, but my buddy Tom Odo over here is very organized, and I am the antithesis of that. I am very unorganized. So he actually outlined today's episode to help me get things in track, because he knows I don't know what I'm doing with this podcast. It's new, so I kind of make up the rules as we go along. So, Tom, give us some of the outline. Let's go. What do you have in store for us today?
Yeah, so first of all, it's great that we actually still have episode 3, because I, like I said in last week's podcast, I tend to kill podcasts. So
right.
We actually made it. So let's just, you know, we're just happy about that. And then also, too, is we got plenty of messages from last week mentioning about giving away your box. So you had given out my email address. I got a whole bunch of some really positive comments and feedback from people who are listening to the podcast, which I think already has like a few hundred downloads on Podbean. I don't know how many on iTunes. I think you already have like 9 or 10 five-star ratings on there probably by now. So
nice.
You know, it's meager beginnings, but hey, everybody started from somewhere, you know.
Hey, listen, not for nothing, on Podbean there's so far 200 plus, almost 250 downloads. I'm surprised.
Nice.
I'm shocked. Thank you guys for downloading.
Yeah.
On iTunes, I don't think there's actually a way to see who's subscribed or not or anything like that.
Yeah, but at least you could see like some ratings. And I mean, that speaks in itself, you know?
Sure, sure. Okay, let's talk about who won the box, who phoned in and wrote you emails and won a piece of my box.
So I got a,
and your box.
I got a bunch of box emails, and the winner was Vanessa from Texas. She had taken home the box. I randomly selected her between her, and there was also Brian, Bobby, Carol, Ryan, and Robert, and also Margot as well. And we also had gotten our first piece of negative commentary or hate mail, whichever you'd want to call
yes.
it, in regards to Mr. Penboy Roy. And I'm giving you the option, would you want me to share this with you?
Why not? Because you know you haven't made it anywhere, and you know you made it when you start getting hate mail.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Yes, absolutely. So just to conceal the identity of the person that wrote this, she didn't want me to share it, but said that many women in the fountain pen community have commented with disdain about some of Penboy Roy's distasteful sexist remarks during several of his pen reviews. Twice he has said absurd things such as, "That's like rubbing oil on a bikini model." Really? Get into the 21st century there, Roy. Those kinds of remarks are neither clever nor amusing, and they're sexist. Also, during his review of the Platinum Kumpo, a pen I own and really like a lot, I own that pen as well, he made several remarks about feces. I think he even used the word turd. Can you imagine, as the Dowager Countess said in Downton Abbey, vulgarity is no substitute for wit. Of course, I did think Platinum made an unfortunate choice in naming that pen, but it's a Japanese product, and obviously something was lost in translation. Other reviewers glided past the name with class, but Roy acted like an eighth grader about it. This is an insult to many eighth graders, I realize. So that was the comment.
I agree with her. That is an insult to eighth graders.
Yes, yes. I mean, and two is that I know on several occasions we have fully acknowledged that you have an eighth grader sort of, you know, sense of humor. I for one appreciate that sort of sense of humor. I can't get past, like, you know, saying the word titmouse without, you know, giggling or like, you know, fart jokes. And it's just,
I don't think I've ever said titmouse. Have I ever said titmouse? That's not what I thought of. I have to say though, I do incorporate the words butthole into reviews more than any other reviewer has in the history of fountain pen reviews.
I think you're the only one that honestly can describe the smell of a noodler's pen.
I think I'm the only one who honestly describes it. Yes, I agree with you. Did you write back? Like, what was the response?
Yes, I did write back. So I wrote back, I am personal friends with Roy, just because I didn't know if the person knew that we were that connected. Right. I know he has an immature sense of humor. I'll admit I'm not above fart jokes in the same way my father still finds the slapstick humor of the Three Stooges funny. True, his humor is not for everyone. Since I know him personally, I can say that he doesn't have the intention to put down or disparage women. If you don't mind, I'd like to share my comments with him to offer perspective. If you don't want me to mention to him, I'll totally respect that. So, but then after that, you know, I the response that I got back was quite, you know, mellowed out. So it wasn't like she was ready to appear on your doorstep with torches, pitchforks, and a mob of angry women. You know, she says that, you know, you're free to be yourself and that she shouldn't be so uptight, but that, you know, she has a career where, you know, she gets a lot of, let's say, like research papers or essays that contain racist or sexist language. So I guess there's like a finer tuned radar for the sorts of things from people who are, let's say, less knowledgeable about the world or have less of a worldview, of which I know that you have a very rich worldview, being that you are a man of the people.
Right. Well, you know, just. So she does a lot of research and stuff that has stuff to do with, like, racism, I'm guessing, discrimination, sexism, something like that, right? Is that what you said?
Well, yeah, it's just about seeing what other people think and you know, like students and whatnot, that what kind of ideas that they have in their reports and things like that, and some of the phrases that they use. I mean, it's just this kind of thing that, you know, it's when certain things are institutionalized, like you have like racism, you know, that some mm-hmm. things that get passed down generationally, or that they just become part of your environment where you don't even realize that you're doing something until somebody says, you know what, that could be rather disparaging to certain, you know, people, like when you mention, you know, like when you use certain turns of phrase or whatever. But I mean, when you were saying, like, you know, put like oil sliding on a bikini model, like it could certainly be a male bikini model, right?
Right.
You know?
I never said it was a woman, right? Like, gee, she's the sexist one for assuming I'm talking about women.
But see, the visualization, when you start mentioning things to people, right, and they visualize it, and the first thing that comes to their head, it's like, you know, it's just that's the part that they you know, tends to be reacted to the quickest.
Right, so it's their visualization of what I'm saying that's causing them to think that I'm sexist.
Well, yeah, it's also your machismo, your attitude.
I ain't got no machismo.
Yeah, you do. You have plenty of that swag. You know it.
All right, so let's address some things, okay? Like, I typically don't like to give negative reinforcement any attention, but it's not really negative, you know? Like she's saying there's stuff that I'm saying that's sexist. And then she made a joke about, like, insulting eighth graders, which I can appreciate jokes like that. So I don't really consider her email negative.
No, I don't
but
either.
But am I really sexist? Like, the definition of sexist, hold on, let me look this up. Let's look it up. Let's see if I'm sexist, right?
If,
I'm on my computer.
If you mistype on that Google, like, you're getting a completely different search result.
I'm going to get distracted. All right, sexist is an adjective, okay? Characterized by or showing prejudice. I don't prejudice. I'm not prejudiced towards women. Stereotyping. I don't stereotype women. Or discrimination. I don't discriminate women. Typically against women on the basis of sex. So basically, to be sexist, I have to discriminate, stereotype, or be prejudiced against women because of the fact that they are females, which I do not do. One thing that this person who wrote to you said that is absolutely correct is, I am full of crude humor. And I probably have a childish outlook on jokes, but that doesn't make me a sexist. As a matter of fact, have you seen my wife? Have you seen what she could do to people?
I know that
she could beat up a lot of dudes.
I've seen the Instagram videos of her going away on a heavy bag there, and I would not be wanting to be on the other end of that thing, trust me.
Right. Right. So, like, listen, if I'm being accused of making crude jokes and humor, then I am guilty as charged. But sexist, I am absolutely not sexist. I'll tell you, some of the people I look up to the most in my life are female. And that's a coincidence. I look up to them not because they're female. I look up to them because of what they have done in their lives.
I thought you were going to say because you're short. And I'm like, you're not short. I'm waiting for the setup there.
Yeah. No. So, like, I'll put that to bed. I'm not sexist. I don't think that women are less than me. I don't think that they can do less than me. I think a lot of women are able to do things that I can't do and deserve the respect that they deserve. But I'm going to keep making jokes the way I make jokes. But it's not in any way to put down women. I think that if you think I'm sexist, you need to look up the words and figure out what exactly it means to be sexist. Am I crude? Yes. I mean, I make jokes about poop. Does that make me poopist?
Maybe.
No?
I had the same exact reaction to the, I still call it the kumpo all the time, you know, instead of kumpo, which I know is the right way of saying it. But I love that pen too. And I think that having that infantile sense of humor, it just made the pen for me even more. It's like, well, I have to have the pen. It's not only is it a gorgeous looking pen, but it also has like the funniest sounding, you know, English translation sort of name too. It just checked off all the boxes for me.
Right. And the thing is, if you're going to spell it like that, I'm going to pronounce it like it's spelled.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm going to pronounce it like it's spelled in English. I don't care how other countries pronounce it, I'm going to read it as it's written. That's how I roll. That's how I roll, son. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But I really don't think that anonymity has its place everywhere. Whoever it is that wrote you that letter can very well write to me at penboyroy@gmail.com. And don't be afraid to give me your name. What do you think is going to happen? You think I'm going to come after you for having an opinion? Absolutely not. I 100% believe that anybody who lives in this country or any country whatsoever has the right to free speech, and you can throw words at me. It's not going to hurt me, and it's not going to hurt you. But don't be a keyboard warrior. Don't be writing stuff and saying, I don't want my name hidden. You want me to take you seriously? I will. It's not going to hurt anybody. That's just the way I see things, you know?
That's a good message too. I mean, like, we, you know, we're forward facing in front of an audience all the time when we're doing like YouTube videos or like this podcast and everything. And, you know, we may not realize it sometimes too. Like, sometimes we'll get carried away, or, you know, we get super excited about pens and we start talking and riffing and things like that. And, you know, sometimes we do like get a little crazy sometimes and just cross the line here and there, or maybe it just didn't hit with a particular type of person, and it's fine.
Right.
You know, if you want to, you know, if you want to criticize, if you want to make a comment, if you want to make us aware about something, you know, it's all good. Like, it's having the open dialogue is the important part, you know, because then
yeah, you know, and it's funny because I was looking at my YouTube stats and that's like 99% males, like 1% females. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, Jesus Christ.
You know, what, actually, it's like high school all over again. I was watching your moon landing video yesterday, and
right.
An ad popped up beforehand because you serve ads before, you know, the video actually starts. And it was a bra ad.
Oh, God, am I going to get blamed for that, too?
I'm like, I don't know if they were going based on, let's say, like, if you know, like, my wife was browsing on the iPad, you know, or something, and they were going based on that data, or if it was the data provided by who they think is watching a Penboy Roy video. But I'm like, I feel that this is a little out of place here. Kind of made me uncomfortable. I think I should write to them.
No, not just that. It's like, look at my stats. It's like 1% female, 99% males. I'm always like, what am I doing wrong? And then for that demographic, you're going to throw up a bra ad? Does that really make sense? You know, like, geez. But you know, it's like another, you know, like I was saying, I'm not sexist. And I think, you know, like I said, that I think this lady, whoever it is that wrote to you, or this, you know, young lady or old lady or whatever lady, I don't think it's a negative feedback. I think it's actual just feedback. Like, I think sometimes I got to look at these things and take them seriously because, you know, there's no reason to make someone feel bad. You know, if I'm making someone feel bad, and it's easy enough to stop, I think maybe, because sometimes I'll be on a roll and I'll just be talking and then noise will come out of my face. And then later on, months later, someone will be like, well, that's not nice. Mm-hmm. Then I'll be like, was that not nice? I'll take a look at it, you know? but it's not like she's like, hey, I'm gonna beat him up, and you know, he's a piece of crap, right, and everybody should pee on him. Yeah, that's one thing. I don't even give any attention to that. And they can you know, they can suck it. I'm talking about if somebody has something clearly that they want to say to me, say it. What do you think I'm gonna tell you to shut up? You know, it's not the case. I'm the most open-eared, open-minded person in the world. Just happens to say things on an eighth grade level. Listen, I do have to thank her. She gave me eighth grade. I've heard fifth grade. I've heard kindergarten. So, you know, I think she was giving me the benefit of the doubt on that one. Right. It's like she's giving me the benefit of the doubt. I kind of like it. You know what I mean? So it's like, yes, she could have said high school. That would have made me feel really good. And I'd be like, yes, I've made it. I've done well for myself.
Yeah. So
what else? What else do we got in the mailbox over there?
Well, that was it for the mailbox. We can move on to our next topic, which I'll ping pong it over to you. What do you want to talk about?
You know, Thanksgiving's coming up, and I was really thinking, you know, I don't want to do some, you know, lame topic like, hey, what are you thankful for? Because everybody's doing that. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the whole point of Thanksgiving.
That was the next bullet point in my outline, you jerk.
I think that's a great idea. Did I say I didn't want to do it? I was just talking. You know, all I want to do is talk about what I'm thankful for. Just not today, and not so anyone else can hear. You know, we should just think about it. But what I have an idea is, we should talk about who we've given pens to, who we've infected with the fountain pen virus. Who is the most recent person you, Tom Otto, has infected with the fountain pen virus or given a pen to who they don't really use fountain pens and maybe is like a hopeful infector? Infectee? Is that the right word? Which one? I don't know. But somebody that you are trying to work on and infecting.
Someone I'm trying to work on. See, the thing is, like, I usually work with a lot of people who already have a little bit of a warm interest. So they're not completely cold. Like, it's the hardest to convince somebody who, let's say, just all they do is they're on their phone 24/7. They haven't picked up a pen at all or a writing implement, like, other than to sign their name for, let's say, UPS or an Amazon package. They haven't picked up any sort of implement in years. But like the thing is, usually most people I talk to or that I penable, which is usually that's my better role, I would say, is as a penabler, mm-hmm. where I guess somebody who's already sort of warm to the idea or may have used pens in the past, has used, let's say, like nicer ballpoints and then maybe wants to try a fountain pen.
Let me interrupt you right there.
Yeah.
Nicer ballpoints. They just don't exist.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're going to be a ballpointist, a person who is prejudiced against ballpoint users then.
Yes, I am not a sexist. I'm a ballpointist. Ballist, I guess they call it. Ballpointist.
The ballist.
Well, you know, we're going with that. We're going with ballpointist.
Oh, God.
I'm a ballpointist.
Yeah, but I mean, like, my best case was my own dad. When I first started working for Goldspot, he had used Pelican fountain pens when he was a kid. So that's what I'm saying. Like, this is kind of like cheating, because if you've already used it like at one point in your life and you just rediscover it later on, you already are susceptible to the fountain pen virus. It's kind of like getting chicken pox when you're younger. You're more likely to get shingles later. That's how the fountain pen virus works. So
is that true?
Absolutely. It is like legit by the CDC that if you get the fountain pen virus when you're younger, it will come back in spades later on as like the shingles version of the fountain pen virus.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. So if you had chicken pox, you are more likely to get shingles.
Oh yeah. Oh, you meaning, are you talking for real? I'm playing around with this whole the whole metaphor of it, but like, that is, people who get chicken pox when they're younger, they are susceptible to getting shingles later. And shingles is a mother. Shingles can come back multiple times too.
Really?
Can be life-threatening for elderly. So.
Jeez.
We talk about a wide range of subjects here at the Pentertainment Podcast.
I know, because I remember, I actually, when I was in my early 30s, I had shingles.
Oh, you did?
And I didn't really look into it. I just, the doctor said, you had shingles, go get some medication, you know? And he said that the shingles is known as herpes zoster. So when I went to the CVS, and this goes back to this lady, can we just call her Jane? She is a lady, right? The one who wrote you the...
Yes.
Let's just call her Jane, because I can't think of another female name at this moment in time. But let's say Jane, We're going back to what Jane says. Yes, I have a very immature sense of humor. I stood there in line at CVS, and when I got to the front, because they called in my shingles medication, and knowing that shingles is called herpes zoster, I stood there and I said in a loud, proud voice, "Excuse me, I'm here to pick up my herpes medication. I need my herpes medication." And people were looking at me weird and stuff like that. But this was back when I was in my 30s. And actually, you know, maybe 9 years ago. Yeah. So I didn't know that it was because you had chickenpox that you can get shingles. But what if you never had chickenpox before?
Then, well, I mean, now they even have vaccines for chickenpox. My kids have vaccines for chickenpox. So they're not even supposed to get them. I'm like, that's like a rite of passage as a child. Like, how are you going to take that away from people? But I guess that's why, and we don't want to get into this whole debate about the whole anti-vaccination thing, but I mean, I guess that might have to do something with it, but.
Gee, I don't know. But all right, going back.
We're getting lost in the weeds here. So my dad, when we started, so he used Pelican fountain pens when he was a kid. Like, he had the inkwell on the desk and everything. And he, like, later on in life, when I joined up with a pen company, he's like, "Oh, well, I've always, you know, like, I'm interested in, like, oh, you guys sell, like, Pelican fountain pens. I remember Pelican when I was a child." And that's, I think, what a lot of the manufacturers these days are somewhat missing out on, is that they need to get these kids when they are forming and iPads are being shoved in front of their faces, you know? So it's like, they need to really get in there when they're young and like throw pens in their hands. And it is, it's very, very difficult to get their attention when you've got this screen that can not only do what is deemed as work, and I'm doing air quotes as I'm saying that, but like, but also can then toggle on over to playing, you know, video games and then YouTube videos and then being able to watch other kids play video games on YouTube videos. And it is just like, how is a pen supposed to compete with that?
It's, you know, and it makes it tough too, because as they go from childhood into like adolescence, you know, and they start hitting those puberty hormones and stuff, and they start getting interested in the you know, opposite sex.
It could be the same one too. It could be the same one.
It could be, okay. As soon as they start getting interested in sex.
Things.
Intercourse.
Yes.
Right.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not. Whatever. But these devices that you can play on and then, you know, text with and play video games on can now be used to access porn.
Oh, God.
You know, and then once you're an adult, and then it just becomes sports. And, like, there's no, like, it's winning race.
Does porn become a sport? Is there a porn sport? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
I missed out
there
on
could
this.
Be. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know if there is, but there should be, that, you know, because we don't want to discriminate just because, you know, just because of the different, you know, like, there should be a sport for porn. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I can imagine it's the saddest sport possible.
You have failed in life if you are a professional porn sports competitor. No, but, you know, it's like, you're right. So, like, we got to get them young. We got to get them using fountain pens when they're young. We got to teach them about handwriting, and we got to just not lose that. You know, but you're right. Continue. I mean, keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So
had to interject.
So, my dad had gotten then, let's say the catalog when we finished that like first issue, and he saw it was Pelican fountain pens, and I ended up getting a Pelican fountain pen, and now he has more pens than I actually own, because I keep a very tight stable. I only have like a very small group of pens because I want to use them all the time. So if I find a new one, like let's say the Kumpo or the Lamy 2000 Bauhaus or the Leonardo Memento, I end up having to get rid of one that's already in my stable that does not make the list anymore because of said new acquisition. So, but my dad does not have that same sort of discipline. He is in the later stage of his life. He actually just retired a couple weeks ago, and I gave him a Monte Grappa Elmo in the graffiti turquoise because that was the next pen that he wanted on his list. He commonly calls me after seeing either the Goldspot emails or let's say a new Goldspot YouTube video, and he's like, "Tom, that new pen, this whatever, you know, it could be that Pelican. Oh, so good. Can you just get me one?" And it's just like that's our like when my dad is calling me, there is a good chance, like 50 or 60% chance it's pen related. Like I am his dealer now, and I have pinabled him into a stratosphere of which I can't even touch, because then I would be spending all of the money that goes toward my mortgage. But he's in the golden years of his life and should enjoy himself thusly. So
yeah, and he deserves it too.
Oh,
because none of this pen stuff is even possible had it not been for him. You know who else does that to you every time you put up a video and a new pen comes out and calls you and then asks for it?
Only if it's a green pen.
Yeah.
And then I'm surprised if you do call me and it's not a green pen. I'm like, but Roy, it's not green. Why are you calling me?
Yeah. But I think that's really great that you infected your dad with the fountain pen virus.
That's so
it's kind
weird.
Of cheating. Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, I've infected my dad with the fountain pen virus. Anywhere else in the world, if somebody heard that, they'd be like, what is wrong with you? No, but I think it's great. Even though he had a mild infection when he was a kid, mm-hmm. I still think it counts as a fountain pen virus infection.
Nice.
My story is actually very recent. I gifted a pen to a friend of mine. Her name is Magdalena Baczewska. She is a badass, savage classical pianist. I'm telling you, when she touches this piano, she makes this piano her bitch.
Nice.
Like, she is so amazing. She is brilliant. And we went to college together, and years ago when we were in college, I saw her play and I thought, this chick is going to be brilliant. She already is brilliant. She's going to be brilliant, and she's going to be in charge of stuff, and she's going to rule the world of classical music. And I was right. I should have bet money on it. So recently, a couple of weeks ago, she invited me. We reconnected, and she invited me to a ball mask party. It's a party where, you know, everybody wears a mask. Doesn't have to wear a costume, but everybody wears a mask.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? I hadn't seen her in 12 years, you know, and I always admired her. I always thought she was amazing. I thought she was brilliant. I looked up to her, hence not sexism, not sexist, you know. But I looked up to her because of her skill and her ability to play the piano and to be able to touch a key on a piano and make it sound different every time. And it was all under her control. It's like a Jedi mind force type of thing. Mm-hmm. I always admired her, and it's not because she's the second most gorgeous woman you've ever seen, first being my wife, not because of that, because, you know, I don't judge women strictly on their looks, because that would be sexist, and that is not what I'm doing here.
We're really beating this horse to death, aren't we?
Yeah. What I'm saying is, you know, she's so admirable and brilliant, and that's why I look up to her so much. The fact that she's a woman happens to be a coincidence. And the fact that she's gorgeous also happens to be a coincidence. Has nothing to do with that, but I admire her separate those qualities.
Question,
but anyway,
though,
I went to this
hypothetical.
Go for it.
If she was a man, would you say that he was also strikingly handsome at the same time as well? Possibly like the second most handsome person you've ever met?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would just tell you straight up, I hate him because he's so good looking. Right? Like,
seriously. I got you.
I'm totally open and honest.
You wouldn't acknowledge the good lookingness. You would acknowledge
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Like, for example, let me off topic, remind me to get back to what we were talking about. Zac Efron. Hate the guy. God, I wish I could punch him in the face because he is in such great shape and he is just way too good looking. I resent him. I hate him. I want him gone forever. Why? Because I look at him and I'm like, that guy is just way too good looking. Can't stand it. You know, but yes, I can admit that a dude is good looking.
Point.
It
point
doesn't
taken.
Make me feel
good.
Yeah,
just
it doesn't
as long
make
as
me
it,
feel
just as long as it swings both ways.
Absolutely, it doesn't make me feel less of anything to say like that dude's good looking. You know, there are some dudes I'll be like, hey, listen, I need you to move away from me because if you keep standing next to me, my wife's gonna realize how ugly I am because of how good looking you are. Mm-hmm. You know, I say stuff like that. Like, I can be honest about it. But anyway. Going back to Magdalena Baczewska, she's such a great pianist, and I went to this party, and I brought with me the Leonardo Officina Momento Zero Positano.
Nice.
That I recently did a review for. And I was like, you know, this is probably a great, one, gift to give someone. Two, a way to infect another person with a fountain pen virus, even though she is a musician, and using pens isn't what musicians really do. They only use pencil on manuscript and music sheets.
Right.
But, you know, she is like the director of music at an Ivy League college. So maybe she can use it to like grade papers or
so
write stuff down or sign stuff.
So they don't use music nibs in music? No?
No, that's another thing I was going to talk about. Like music nibs, the three tined music nibs, mm-hmm. musicians won't use that. Like orchestra musicians, they're not going to sit there and write on music with ink because then you can't erase it.
That's what people have and the impression. I talk to people all the time and they're like, oh, music nib, that's for writing music, right? And I'm like, all I know is that I like using them because it gives you that line variation. You don't have to press on it like you would a flex nib to get it. It just automatically mm-hmm. does it. And but I don't know if people use it, but you're telling me that people don't even use it for music. So why are we even calling it a
musicians,
music nib anymore?
I don't know, but classical musicians will use pencil on music paper. They won't use ink. Hmm. If they use ink, they get in trouble. If you use ink in an orchestra, you know, sometimes these orchestral scores, they're not photocopies, they're originals, and they use the same ones over and over and over again, and they have to preserve them by not using ink. If you write something down, the next guy might not want that written there. They would erase it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So they don't use ink, but it's called music nib. I don't know why. Maybe because it makes a music note really easily, and then you can draw the stem straight down of a note. I don't know.
Well, maybe it was used for that initially, but maybe they went away from it.
I mean, back in the day, you know, Mozart, Beethoven, they would use a quill and ink to write music.
Well, I'm thinking, though, too, is that at that time, they didn't have photocopies, nor did they have abilities to print things out. So they had to do, let's say if they wanted to recreate or, you know, make copies of their music, they would have to rewrite everything. Like scribes would have to go and or that, you know, once the printing press, I don't know my timeline well enough to tell you whether Beethoven was around for the printing press. I'm guessing he might have been. I don't know. I'm to brush
well,
up on my
sure.
history.
Well, I guess we're just gonna have to look that up because Beethoven, he was, hold on, let me, printing press invention.
That was the Gutenberg, right?
Okay, so do you have a computer in front of you? Because So 1440, wow. So the printing press would have existed. And it was also, so goldsmith and inventor Johannes Gutenberg was a political exile from Mainz, Germany, when he began experimenting with printing in Strasbourg, France. In 1440, he returned to Mainz several years later. But 1440, so existed. So if Beethoven was born, what was he born? 1770, died in 1827. Okay, so if Beethoven was born in 1770 and died in 1827, the printing press was around. Mozart was born in 1756, died in 1791,
yeah,
was
but
it?
They were, you know, there was other composers writing music before then, right? So you got to imagine
but
they needed to...
I would say in 1440, they probably weren't... I mean, composers at that time, what was it, Gregorian music at the time?
Well, though we're kind of getting a little off track because music nibs were being made for fountain pens in, let's say, like the late, you know, 1800s, early 1900s. And that's where we picked this up at. Because you figure every other nib is going to be your steel, you know, or your quill, you know, like your quill type of nib. That's not going to have the, or maybe it did, or maybe they did have them with the flat ends, like in order to do like a music sort of thing. I don't know. I have to look this up a little bit more.
I think we should have prepared before we started this podcast. Prepared more than your
so much for
regular
my,
Tom
so
Odo
much
level.
For my rinky-dink outline.
Right. I know. Jeez. Dropping the ball again, Tom. But, you know, going back, I gave this great female pianist, you know, a friend of mine whom I looked up to very much because of her ability to play the piano and her, you know, amazingness. I gave her this fountain pen. I gave her a bottle of Leonardo Officina Italiana turquoise ink. I think it goes well with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm standing by to wait for a, you know, get some feedback. Tell me what if she likes it, if she doesn't like it. Is it something that's just going to be like a gift that she just keeps on a shelf, or is she actually going to use it? Who knows? But
I call her up in a couple weeks, be like, so did you use it yet? And then she's, oh, you know what? I really have. Well, is it possible I could get it back? Because I want to make sure it goes to somebody who's going to use it.
Yeah, right. No. That's that. You know what it is? I think it's such a nice pen. I think, you know, someone as eloquent and talented and skilled as her, She can either use it or not, but it's hers. So that's my story of the fountain pen virus infection attempt.
Oh, so, I mean, that's good. That's you got to just put it in people's hands. What other ways can we think of that could, you know, like allow for people that those opportunities to get others infected?
Well, I'm kind of like really obnoxious about it. Like when I'm at work and I have fountain pens, like for example, let me explain something. Like I respect everybody's way of life. If you're a vegetarian, if you're a vegan, if you're, you know, a primal dieter, keto dieter, low carb dieter, whatever, I don't care. What I never liked was if, I'm going to use a hypothetical situation, so I'm not being discriminatory in any way. Let me preface it before I start this discussion. Mm. For example, if you're a vegetarian, for example, okay? I never like it if we're sitting down eating together and then you as a vegetarian now starts criticizing everything I'm eating, right? Like if you're sitting there saying, oh my gosh, that cheeseburger is disgusting. You shouldn't be eating that. That's not food. Get rid of that. Move that away from my food, you know? And I've actually, to be totally honest, I've had that happen. Someone who's a vegetarian did that to me. So what I took away from that was I never really like shoving things down people's throats, all right? And I mean that idiomatically and euphemistically. I don't in any way mean that in a sexist way. I'm not trying to be crude, but I just don't like taking things and shoving it down people's throats.
Oh my God.
I said it twice.
You said it.
But I know. But when it comes to fountain pens, I am one obnoxious son of a bitch. Like, I will go up to people while they're using ballpoint pens, you know? And at work, I'm in charge. So I'll just be like, you know, that pen you got there makes me like you less. Or or sometimes when people need something signed, they'll be like, hey, could you sign this for me? And, you know, just I need your signature at the bottom. And they hand me a ballpoint pen. I'll take the document, whatever it is that they need signed, I'll take the ballpoint pen from them, and then I'll wing it as far away from me as I can. And then they'll look at me, and then I'll look right back at them, and I'll tell them, I don't want to bleep out curses, so I'm going to leave out the curse, but I'm going to say, I'll say to them, don't ever friggin' hand me a ballpoint pen ever again. And then I'll sign it with my fountain pen. And then they'll be like, what's that? And then I start going into the fountain pen thing, and I start telling them. And I got to say, in the last couple of years, I've gotten about maybe a dozen guys that I work with to get fountain pens, at least to buy it themselves, to buy inks, to try it. And they actually like it. Some of them actually stick to it.
Cool.
You know, no joke. But I am so pushy. I'm so obnoxious about it. I'll get in people's faces. Someone wants to make a joke at me, I am right back in their face with jokes, you know.
Oh, if somebody's poking fun at you for your fountain pen addiction, you just, you know, stand your ground on it.
Absolutely. I stand my ground. I don't back down. You have to beat me to death and peel the fountain pen from my dead cold hands before I back down on that. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. It's easy for at my workplace to get people a little bit infected. So I don't have to, do much at all for that. Because a lot of people at the Gold Spot office have pens on their desk and are constantly looking at some of the stuff that we get in. And it's like, I really want to get that, but I just got this the other week, you know, and it's just like everybody's kind of helpless to that. But, it's good. It's good to see it happen in other places besides a pen store.
You know, what's funny is like, you know, going back to what Jane was saying, I wish I knew her name. You know, I wish she wasn't afraid to tell me her name so I could give her credit, because it actually sparks discussion. It's criticism that actually I have to take to heart, and I have to say to myself, you know, maybe she's right. Maybe I got to dial some things back, you know, because I can still be myself without offending people. You know what I'm saying? If it's the crudeness that bothers her, then she's assed. But if it's the sexist, what she's perceiving as sexist, then I can dial back on that for sure, because I don't need to say certain things. But butthole jokes, poop jokes, they're coming. They're not stopping. But anyway, going back to what Jane was saying, it's like when it comes to like immaturity and stuff like that, there's a lot of people who are immature as me, if not more, that I've gotten infected with the fountain pen virus. People who are not, you know, quite at the maturity that you would associate with the fountain pen hobby, that I've gotten them into the fountain pen world, and they like it, and they start using fountain pens, and they actually start caring about handwriting a little bit. It doesn't really help sometimes, but sometimes it does, you know. Mm-hmm. Guys that you would think would never use a fountain pen or even know what a fountain pen is. Guys who can do like single rep max deadlifts of 505 pounds. using a fountain pen. You know, fighters, guys who fight professionally using fountain pens, you know. Guys who have killed people for a living using fountain pens.
Do people they use who weren't the using fountain pens to kill people?
No.
Not yet.
But they could if they wanted to.
They could.
But my point is, like, we're talking about guys who would never have used fountain pens had it not been for me. At least half a dozen of those guys were because of me. And more to come. Nice. Because of the way I am and the way I talk to people. Not sexist. Yes, crude. Not sexist.
And that is the theme of today's podcast. Not sexist.
Not sexist. Do I like women? Yes, I do. I also like non-women. And just, I like them differently. You know, it's like, I don't like them any less. I like them differently. You know, so, but that doesn't mean I'm sexist. But anyway, going back, I think that, you know, getting people infected is important. We gotta keep working at it. And you know what's funny is somebody was you were talking earlier about discipline, about your dad and you. Like, your dad has no discipline when it comes to not buying pens and stuff like that. People come up to me all the time and they're like, man, you're so disciplined. Because, you know, I have a certain lifestyle where it comes to consuming certain foods and, you know, during certain time periods. And then I you know, train. I do combative training. I do, you know, mixed martial arts training, striking, you know, weightlifting, cardio. And my goals make me disciplined. I won't eat certain things. I don't care where I am, who I'm with. I won't drink alcohol. I haven't had alcohol in years, not of a drop of it. I won't have sugar. I won't have, you know, carbs. You know, I'm doing the ketogenic diet, but I'm doing the clean ketogenic diet the way it's intended, not bacon, cheese, and red meat all the time. It's more like avocados, nuts, fish, you know, clean foods, a lot of greens. And I don't budge. I don't care where I am. And people tell me, oh my God, you're so disciplined. But when it comes to fountain pens, I am the exact opposite. I am so undisciplined. I have got to have everything. How many times do I call you a week asking for stuff? You know, I'm like, hey, gosh. I need that. Send that over. Invoice me this. Invoice me that. And then I'm so undisciplined, but determined that, for anybody who's listening who doesn't know this, if Tom doesn't answer, I'll text. And if he doesn't answer the text, I'll text him again. And if he doesn't answer then, I'll call. And then if he doesn't answer that, I'll call again. And then I'll text him. Then I'll email him. Then I'll call Dawn and have her tell him that I'm calling and texting him to check his phone. And then she'll go. Then she'll come back and say, okay, he's going to get to it. And then I'll wait 5 minutes and then call, text, email, call, text, Dawn again, all over again.
And but you have to have an outlet. Like, see, that's the thing, is that everything else is so disciplined, is that you need an outlet to let go of that discipline. And that's where fountain pens and inks come in.
Right. I mean, it's funny. Isn't that funny? Like, when it comes to, like, you know, martial arts and fighting, I have all the discipline in the world. When it comes to fountain pens, something that you would perceive would be something that generates or causes you to have lots of discipline, I have no discipline whatsoever. It's like I could order a pen, get a pen that day, the day I get the pen, see a new pen, and want the new pen. It's called the law of diminishing marginal utility, but it doesn't really diminish for me. Like, for example, I got a pen last week. I love the pen I got last week, but I still want a new pen. Got the new pen this week. Love both of them. The margin of utility those pens have for me don't diminish, but I still want more. It's an infection. It's a raging virus. It is the fountain pen virus, bitches.
It multiplies. But
it multiplies. It reproduces. It is like a cat, right? One single female cat. And I say female cat because that's what the study says. I am in no way being sexist. I'm just saying one female cat can produce 300,000 cats over, like, the generations and generations as it, like, family trees down, right? That's what the ASPCA says. One female cat. They are being sexist, not me.
I am going to cross-check that information.
Right. I could do it right now, like, but then I wouldn't even know what to Google, but I got my computer in front of me. But, yeah, so, you know, listen, I think we're going to start wrapping it up. We've done a 45-minute episode so far. I think we've had some fun. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a logical place to end, because we covered lots of ground on pen addiction, sexism, cat reproduction,
Shingles.
Yeah, we covered all of our bases this week, so I think it's a lot of good stuff. And we did a little bit of thanks, but we completely avoided the whole mushy gushy thank you and Thanksgiving and gratitude thing, because gratitude's not really the Pentertainment podcast style. You know, we have nothing to be thankful for because we really don't have a listener, you know, following just yet, right?
Well, listen, if for the four people out there that are listening, including the one that thinks I'm sexist, thank you.
We doubled our, because we were at two last week, so we're down to four.
That's right. Right. I am thankful for all four, including the one that thinks I'm a sexist. If you're hearing clicking, I just want everybody to be very clear. This is a Pilot Vanishing Point that I'm clicking. It is not a ballpoint pen. I have a reputation to uphold. I would not be clicking a ballpoint pen. I'm using a Pilot Vanishing Point. It's the black and white one that looks like a stormtrooper.
Okay, I gotcha. That's a pretty cool
one. I love
it.
It looks like a stormtrooper. And next to it, I'm holding my Cross Peerless.
The Darth Vader.
Darth Vader fountain pen, which I love. I love this thing. It writes like a sailor pen. It looks like Darth Vader. It has a Swarovski crystal on the top. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to, I'm going to do a review on this. I was going to do a review on this. I'm not sure. I am at a conflict because I just watched SBRE Brown's review on the Cross Peerless Darth Vader edition.
And he does it in the Darth Vader suit.
No, he doesn't do it in a Darth Vader suit. It's Darth Vader doing the review. Okay.
Yes, yes.
I don't know why people think that it's SBRE Brown doing it.
I gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
It's totally and clearly Darth Vader.
It's
not
clearly
SBRE
Anakin
Brown.
Skywalker in a mask.
Right. Oh, anyway, you guys got to go and watch that. Anybody listening, not that he needs me to, you know, promote his channel, but anybody who knows anything about pens knows who Dr. Brown is. You got to watch this opening monologue. It's absolutely hilarious. Like, I'm sitting there losing my shit listening to his monologue on this fountain pen. I just couldn't stop laughing. And then the ending of the review, I'm not going to tell you what happens at the end, but he does something also funny. I love this guy because he's absolutely just totally free with what he does. Anyway, yeah. I love this pen. I need more Star Wars stuff, especially with the new Star Wars movie coming out. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's really not a lot to pick from. It's just Cross has, you know, their items, and that's pretty much it. But
well, you know, that was another thing I forgot to mention. When it comes to infecting people with the fountain pen virus, we also have the Schaefer Pop Star Wars pens.
That's
They're
true.
Only $20 a piece, and that's a great way to get people started. If you care enough about someone, spend $20 and get those pens. You know, they're Star Wars themed. They got Yoda. They got Luke Skywalker. They got everybody. I just can't. For some reason,
I think
I'm
Darth
drawing
Maul.
A blank.
You also have BB-8 and R2-D2, and there's a whole bunch of different styles. So.
Right. I'd plug to buy it at Goldspot, but I don't make any money off of this, so. You can plug it on your own videos and where they have their own podcast. But I am thankful for whoever was listening, whoever is listening. I'd be gratefuler and more thankful if we can all come to an agreement that I am not sexist. I am just crude.
I would love to see the emails this week. So email Roy. Penboy Roy.
Oh, no.
Penboyroy@gmail.com.
I like that you guys email Tom and then Tom goes through it. So info@autoinc.com is also a good email. Or you can email me directly if you want. That's fine too. Penboyroy@gmail.com. You know what? Email us both. Penboyroy@gmail.com and info@autoinc@gmail.
It's info@autoinc.com.
Okay, info@autoinc or oddoink.com.
And we
Please.
Should definitely
email us both.
Like for the next like few episodes, like maybe when we actually get like let's say 20 viewers or subscribers, we should have an email address that is the Pentertainment Podcast email address, and then that would get forwarded to both of us so we would see them both simultaneously. But that is if it actually survives to that point. So we'll see.
Well, you know what, though? We've gotten to three, even though you've been on it, so it's going to survive. It's going to survive. I don't start things to give up on them. I'm not a wuss. And a wuss could be either male or female.
Oh, my God. No, I can't take this anymore. We have to end this.
All righty. So in terms of Thanksgiving, I hope everybody has a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Eat lots of bird. And enjoy your families, enjoy your time, be thankful for the time that you have here, and be thankful for your family, whether they are male or female, irrespective of gender. We are going to be thankful for them and love them. And, you know, email us. Email us. This, something to email.
Spread some email. Thanks or maybe a story about how you got somebody infected with the fountain pen virus.
Email us a story of who was the last person you attempted, successfully or unsuccessfully, to infect with the fountain pen virus by either giving a pen or suggesting a pen or whatever. Alrighty, guys. Thank you once again for joining us for the Pettertainment Podcast. Love you guys. Be well. Be safe.
And stay inky, my friends. Take care.